today. We thank you for who you are, what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, there's not enough words to begin to explain, Lord, our gratitude that we have. We pray, God, that you would quicken in our hearts and in our minds your word this day. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise. Open up our hearts now, God. Give us understanding in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about it there this morning, just sitting there, and you know how John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've made many messages with that right there, that, you know, the Word, when you get God, you've got it. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the Word to each and every one. And when you think about that Word of God, he says that the Word will not return void, but it will accomplish what God set it forth to do. And, you know, he says it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you think about it, that when God's word went out, he said, let there be light. There was light. Let the water and the land separate. It separated. And God wants us to understand that his word, it's not our word. It's his word. And that it's powerful. And that, you know, it has the power to cleanse and to wash, the Bible says. And you think about it, it has the power to set free. The truth sets free. And, you know, we thought about it just for a little minute because, you know, all of us here, I don't know about you, but we're never living a good life in the Lord before. And God came in and he blessed. And what the word says is it talks about a regeneration, that God regenerates us. And I thought, you know, that's really cool. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I just kind of punched it in, regenerate, you know, and it says in that definition, it says return to life and get or give new life or energy. Wow. God wants to do these things in our life. And, you know, as I look around at the world today, you know, I see just a little bit of hope. I know the world, I don't know about you, but the world has been really frustrating lately ever since COVID kind of came and all these different things begin to happen. We see that the enemy begin to raise his head. And a lot of us really, you know, are just not good. But I see just little glimmers of hope now that as you look even at the Supreme Court and some of these different things that, you know, that are starting to happen, people are starting to take a stand, whether it's, you know, Budweiser or whatever these things are and Target and all these things, and they're starting to say, you know, who's ever on God's side, let them come here, you know. And so people are really starting to do a little bit. It's just a start. We need to begin to encourage people to stand up for the things that God has in store. And, you know, rather than be discouraged, you know, I kind of looked around and I was reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. There's a few different ones in there that have done some things, but, you know, rather than being frustrated with the world, I looked into the Old Testament quite a bit, and I see that, you know, there is times in the Old Testament where things were even a lot worse than they are right now today. And so are we without hope? Not at all. In fact, as we look back and we see that the Word of God, you know, it says it's there to teach us, and it talks about how God's Word is this powerful thing that begins to be able to bring change. And so I look in 2 Chronicles 24, I want to read verses just 1 and 2, and Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah, whatever, from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, we have a young boy, and really what happened is his aunt, you know, they were killing all that family. And she hid him and brought him to the priest, hid him in the temple for what? 6 years. He was hiding. And you know, it's kind of amazing because you look at him and you look at Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned. And these are a couple of young boys that God used to create great, really, revival in the things of the kingdom of God. And I began to realize that, God, you know, one of the things we're not doing enough of is we're not putting enough effort into our young people, into our youth. We got to start doing something. We got to start praying. We got to start believing, because God is able. I mean, you look at some of these things. God is able. As long as the priest lived, he did good. As long as he was there, as long as he had the ability to kind of bounce some things about God and get a second opinion and begin to realize, you know, some of these things, they did good. And you see in these stories that, you know, they fulfilled a lot of decisions and battles and all these different things. And so, you know, they brought back, they restored the worship of God. You see, the world, you know, and this is God's people, they were going in a different direction, you know, making all these things be like a showcase, whatever, I don't know, but, and they were worshiping Baal, they're doing all kinds of crazy things in crazy ways, and they brought back the worship of God. You know, when the country was run by the things of God, how many would agree, it was a whole lot better. And so, you know, rather than crying and complaining, I thought about it. We need to think about this. I mean, you know, the other day when Robbie Ann, she gave a testimony. How many remember that testimony? She said that they were putting up all these crazy posters about what they're going to do in the school, and it was offensive. It was offensive to her, and she tore them all down and tore them up. And they brought her in, and I did it, you know. And they were gonna discipline her and all these other kind of things, but they never ended up doing anything, did they? Nothing. But I mean, you know, they pulled her in, they did this, but she just said, "I didn't care. I made a stand. I did this thing," and that's what we need. We need people not just to go out and be crazy, but taking a stand for Christ, being bold enough to saying, I am not going to just sit and listen to this nonsense. You know, if there's someone there that is this, I mean, if that's who they are, you be what you want to be. But I will never allow you to make me say it's right. You can do whatever you want. You can. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that. You can go straight to hell if you want to. But it's not right. It's not God. It's not his word. His word doesn't come back void. And so God wants to set people free. I really believe that. And it comes down to, you know, they learned, these particular young men learned to do what was right. And, you know, their focus was on the good things. What happened? What happened? I mean, you know, the focus was on God. All these good things began to happen and God restored. So is there a way? Yes. Is God looking to use you and I? Yes. Don't wait for someone else to do it, because if you do that, it's going to get worse. But in our little worlds, let's start to see that God is lifted up, that God is magnified. Amen? So you agree with that, right? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. For we know, I hope we all know this, because if we don't, let's get it into our heart. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You got to think about some of these things now. If this here tent, this earthly tent, my life, you know, we just heard about a death. I've got to go to the cities for another one today. But if it's torn down, we have one that's not built with human hands, eternal in the heavens. There's something greater than anything you and I see. There's something greater than any physical thing. It's the spiritual things. And it says, "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as having put it on, we will not be found naked." How many know that God isn't going to make you do it? "Inasmuch as we having put it on," it's this earnest seeking God. You know, the young man that's chasing Seth around, what's happening is things are going on in his life, because he's starting to put something different on. And it's starting to interest him. It's starting to bring a joy to his spirit. It's starting to say, hey, you know, there's something in this. It's not just a fantasy anymore. It's not something to ignore. It's something to pursue. And so it's kind of exciting. And you know, as we think about this just a little bit, I want to share a testimony, because we love the brother, but Tony Ayala, he just sent me a text yesterday. He said, "This 4th of July will be my 39th years since the mighty power of God touched, totally transformed. Thank you for answering the call. I'm eternally grateful." Him and his twin brother were steeped into heroin. Family, mother was a heroin addict, on and on and on. But he is honestly the most faithful spiritual son we've ever had. And, you know, God wants us to get that. He says, "I'm eternally grateful," because he understands that there's an eternity in this thing. There's things that go way beyond what we understand. It's not just getting a little bit of comfort today. And you know, he's been a blessing everywhere that he goes. And as I think about it, and as I've been praying and looking at some of these different ones, you know, we spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, New Testament. We like to read them both together just a little bit, so that you don't just get caught up in a bunch of laws and rules and regulations, and realize that you do have to season everything with grace, and God does have love and all these things, you know. And so we're not just a religious form. But yet, you know, we see that the reality of wisdom, you know, God's, you know, like we said, he shared a wonderful message, the fear of God. You know, it's the beginning of wisdom. But he talked about these different things there on Wednesday. And it was really, really good. Everybody had so many good things to say. Vince did a great job. And so, you know, when we talk about this eternal dwelling, it's not enough just to spend time on the outside building this life. You know, when you think about it, so many people nowadays, they go to gyms, eat perfect little meals, spend all kinds of time in the beauty shop, you know what I'm saying, in front of the mirror. All these things working on the outside, and God wants us to begin to realize there's something even greater. It's what's on the inside. You know, we don't want to, you know, I mean, you know, people, you know, the old Pentecostals, you know, if you wore makeup or anything, you know, you weren't saved, you know. Well, you know, I had an old brother tell me one time, even an old barn needs a whitewashing. And I thought, man, that's right. You know, it's not wrong to go ahead and do a few things on the outside. That's not wrong. But if you're spending more time, you know, I mean, I see these guys all the time. You know, they're just, you know, they're eating healthy, they're fitting, you know, and they're going to the gym every day, and, you know, they spend hours exercising, and they spend almost zero time in the things of God. And they're just always struggling, always things going on, always needing help, always, you know, in confusion, things never quite working out, because they're not talking to the only one that can make life better. And so we got to not only just spend time on the outside, we need to spend time looking at what's on the inside. As I begin to look at this, you know, Absalom, how many know the story of Absalom? He was one of David's sons. And David loved Absalom. He loved his sons. David was a good man. And so in 2 Samuel, we see in chapter 13 and verse 22, Absalom, but Absalom did not speak to Ammon. Ammon was his brother. Either good or bad, for Absalom hated Ammon because he had violated his sister. But Ammon fell in love with his sister. And really, bottom line, he raped her. And then he turned her out and wouldn't have anything to do with her. And so that hatred just consumed, it says, Absalom. It got into his heart. You understand? And what does the Bible say? What's in your heart is what? It's going to come out. I don't care whether it's fear or whatever it is. If it's in your heart, if it's bitterness, it's going to come out. And so God wants us to understand that, you know, there's an inner beauty, there's an outer beauty, and we need to spend time working also on this inner man, the inner beauty, because that's where really a lot of these things begin to start. So in chapter 14, verse 1, I think I'll just read a couple verses there, but verses 1 and 2 says this. Now, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was inclined towards Absalom. Absalom was, he ran away. We all know that. He ran away because he didn't, he killed his brother. And so Joab sent to this Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now and do not anoint yourself with oil, but be like the woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Now, in other words, here we got a man that knows David loves Absalom, so he's gonna go ahead and try to make things work. He's going to go ahead and help out. In other words, what's in his heart is he don't care how he gets it done as long as he tries to get it done. He don't mind deceiving somebody. See, what's in the heart is going to come out. You understand? And so if we don't begin to work at these things that seem to be pushing on us, then they're going to get us to begin to do whatever we do. We might compromise. We might do this here. We might do that there. Because we're trying to get something done. But yet, by getting it fixed on the inside is where the outside begins to happen. And so, I guess I'll read verse 19 too for you real quick. It says this. So the king said, as this woman came and began to pretend, I had two sons and they were fighting and they got locked up together and one struck the other one, and ended up killing them. And now if they come and take my son, they're, what happens is a life for a life, they would kill this boy. And so he was pretending like this was real, that I would have no bloodline left. And so David made this decision, and so then as it was brought kind of to his mind, his attention, did Joab anything to do with this, he's saying. So he says, so the king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? And the woman replied, as your soul lives, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left for anything, for my lord the king has spoken. Indeed, it was your servant Joab who commanded me, and it was he who put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant. Now, I understand, like I said, I'm sure that Joab, he liked Absalom, and he was going to work out a way for Absalom, and it just, it doesn't matter what efforts you do, whatever you do, but what I'm trying to say is what's in the heart is going to come out, whether it's right or wrong. I don't care if your name is Joab. I don't care whether it's Absalom. I don't care if his name is Harley. If it's in the heart, if it's not dealt with, it's going to work its way out. And so we see that, in his heart, he hated him. And as you get down to verses 24 and 25, you're going to see it really kind of struck me kind of funny, because David agreed to let him come back. Okay, let him come back. And this is what David says. It says, however, the king said, let him return to his house and let him not see my face. So Absalom turned to his own house and did not seek the king's face. Now in all Israel, listen to this now. Now in all Israel, there is no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, there was no defect in him. In other words, here was one guy that had some pretty serious, good-looking outer appearance. His outside looked really well. But then you begin to see the other story, what was on the inside. And you know, this is what brings disaster sometimes to our lives, to other people's lives, because we never learn to take that spiritual aspect and begin to go before God and talk to God about these things that are on the inside. You know, the Word of God is very clear about some of these issues. And so rarely do we make enough time to work on that inside, and you know, it brings more beauty than anything we can do, I believe, on the outside. We see in that verse in chapter 13, verse 28, we see what Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, see now, when Ammon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Ammon, he put him to death, do not fear, have I not myself commanded you, be courageous and be valiant. So he had a plan, and he wasn't going to change that plan. It was going to come out. He did it. And so even after doing all these things, we see that he had a chance to change. He had a chance to be received back. He had a chance to be once again part of and blessed. And so, you know, rather than lifting up the kingdom of God or encouraging David and the household, the kingdom of God, whatever it is, he was more concerned about himself. See, he was given the chance to come in and be who he was supposed to be again. But he didn't, you know, because of what was in his heart, he couldn't quite get to where God wanted him or David, his father, wanted him. And so he had more concern for himself than he did for anything else. I don't know about you. It's really important that, you know, I mean, if I'm going to lead anybody anywhere, I got to understand some of these things myself. In other words, I'm not going to be doing anybody a favor. I'm going to be bringing out of my own heart all these things that God has. And so I begin to think about some things again, and, you know, rather than lifting up the kingdom of God. And so I thought about it. You know, what does the Bible say? In Luke 13:21, it talks about leaven. A little leaven what? Leavens what? The whole lump. It leavens the whole lump. And if you look at leaven and you begin to see some of these things, leaven is kind of a high state, what it would explain, of fermentation. And so leaven is this really, really powerful thing. Even though it's just a little bit, it has a lot of power. And if you think about things fermenting, it's changing its natural form into something different. That's what fermentation does. Take something that is good and can turn it into something that can, I don't know about you, but, you know, even the berries on the trees, you know. You know, you go out there and those high bush cranberries out there, if you ever like to do any hunting, you know, the partridge, you know, the grouse, at a certain time of year, when those berries start to ferment, they get drunker than a skunk. And they're just as stupid can be. And, you know, in other words, it's a source, the Bible talks about, of perversion, about something that isn't quite right. It isn't quite natural. And so, you know, he talks about this leaven, okay? And how many know that Jesus made a way? And so, I don't know about you, but everything I ever read, you know, it says, he who applied the blood to the doorpost, what? All his junk passed over. And all these things that hit everybody else didn't hit them. And so I need the blessings of God in my life. I need the things that God has in my life. And so I begin to look again a little bit more. But, you know, it talks about how leaven is a little bit of a form of corruption. And what leaven does, if you put it in that dough, you know, when it says about unleavened bread, but it causes it to rise. Wow, I don't know about you, but you know, you get a little bit of leaven in your life, a little bit of sin, and it causes it to rise. You think about it. I mean, you know, you think about some guy that's happily married and he's got kids and loves his kids and his family, but you know, he keeps playing around with his buddies and goes from, you know, the Playboy book into something else, and next thing you know, oh, look at that, how'd you like to take a bite of that? You know, I mean, and they start getting caught up, and the next thing you know, this guy gets caught up into a fantasy, that little bit of leaven. Leaven's a whole lump of dough, and for a few short minutes, he gives up this opportunity of being with his family. I don't know, I know hundreds. I know that God's grace and God's love can forgive us. I know that, I believe that. But I'd rather have it in its former state, in the right state, if possible. And so, you know, God begins to say that, you know, that sin is just, it's going to cause everything to rise up. See, what's in the heart is going to come out. You can't, you're not going to be able to stop it when you think you can. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I can do whatever I want. I can turn it on, I can turn off. He's talking about the things of God. He's right to my face. I can turn it off, I can turn it on when I want. No, you can't. And he didn't. And so, you know, all these things are up to God, but in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 5, I'm going to start verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Now, even that little word right there, okay? Pride comes before what? The fall. Do you know how many people, you know, Zion, Illinois. How many know Zion, Illinois? Zion, Illinois was the last non-drinking, smoking, you know, you couldn't chew gum out on the street. That was the law, because it was a Christian place. And Zion, Illinois was known for, I mean, people would come from the country to go to that hospital. There was a hospital there, not to get necessarily just doctors to work on them, but to get healed by the power of God. Zion, Illinois was a revival place. And you know what happened is that man, after so many years, pride got into him, and he began to think that he was Jesus, incarnated. No. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, see, I don't care what you've been able to accomplish or how far you've been. I don't care whether your name is King Solomon with all the wisdom. When you do not listen to what God has said and you don't work on some of these things, it's going to lead you to a place where you don't want to go. And so primary, it's not that you beat people with this, do this, do this, do this. The love of God persuades us to try to begin to allow God into the inner workings of our life, because he absolutely knows what's best. And so he says, your boasting is not good. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He says, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. So who cleans out the old leaven? We do. You apply the blood of Jesus Christ, what Jesus did, to it. You know, if a person doesn't acknowledge something as being wrong, will they ever change? And if a person knows something's wrong, but they still want it, will it destroy them if they pursue it? Absolutely. And so what happens is God wants to be able to get into our heart way before, and he wants us to begin to say, you know, to clean out the old leaven. I don't know about you, new life is better than old life. Man, I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I wished I was young. New life is better than old life. Now, in verse 8, it says, therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, I appreciate you guys out here because the people we have in here, I really believe that they're pursuing truth. I mean, they see all kinds of things, and it ain't that we don't love everybody. And people out there that are trying to do, I'm not gonna just go and just, you know, tell them you're not a man of God. I'm gonna try to encourage them just to do better. I'm not gonna condemn them, I'm not gonna do anything else, but I do want to encourage them to keep the word of God as truth and unleavened bread and to begin to realize that sometimes our motives can be the very things that destroy, because we've never tried to work on the inside as much as we work on the outside. So he says to clean out the old leaven, become new. And the way we do it is with sincerity and truth. Now, what do we do when we need change? I know a lot of us, we need a little change. What do we do when we need change? You know, I thought about that for just a little while. And I realized that I'll go to other people and I'll talk to people a little bit. And I'll, you know, hopefully we find people that are wise. But I always come up to this one point. It isn't just in what somebody that knows God or believes in God or has the right things to say that makes it work. It isn't until I agree with it and make it part of mine or try to, do I ever change. That's when change comes. And, I mean, we need to go to people, we need to talk to people, but you understand inner beauty and outer beauty. You see, we do a lot of things, you know, to feel better and to do good. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but if we're not doing anything to work on the inside, then the outside is going to be a little bit lost, I think. And so God wants to complete it. James chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. We all know this one. Good one. Submit therefore to God. That's number one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Submit to God. You know, I mean, I've had people tell me things, and I just said, well, you know that ain't God. Until you acknowledge it, it can still bite you in the backside. And so then it says, submit to God. Then, there's more to it, resist the devil, and he will flee. See, the enemy is our enemy. He is a liar. He is a thief. And so it's kind of funny because the same brother that Seth is talking about was supposed to come today and get baptized. Right? No, it ain't the same one. Oh, I'm sorry. Different one. He's got two of them over there. But there is one. They were supposed to. He wanted to get baptized, doing good, getting touched by God. So what happens? He wakes up this morning, and his wife is vomiting and diarrhea. So one thing that happens is, I've seen this a million times, if the devil can't get to you, he's going to try to get to your wife or your kids or somebody around you. Because he doesn't want you to succeed in the things of God. Now, I know that we got next week for that brother to get baptized. We'll make a way. Huh? We'll make a way. Whatever it takes, we're going to believe God But don't ever think that the enemy is going to stop. But God is greater. And then he says this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow. There's a place in the presence of God where all these things that you really desire begin to happen. I mean, God begins to have, we have a spiritual encounter. And a lot of these things that we used to think were important aren't important anymore. These things that used to hold us and run us, they're not important anymore. There's something even greater. That's what that inner beauty does as we begin to purge out some of these things and we begin to draw near to God. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that, you know, that you're not going to sin. Sin is obvious. Solomon even said that. That's why he created the temple, so that when they sin, they have a place to go. Now, Jesus has that place, right? So it ain't like no one's ever gonna, but yet when we do, we do have a way. Now, and cleanse your heart, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, I don't know about you, but see, God doesn't want us to be double-minded. Just like, you know, Absalom, what Absalom did, we begin to, if you know that story, Absalom, when David took him back, he would stay outside the gate, and all these people would come in with their problems, and he would talk to him. And he would tell him, well, if I was in charge, I would listen to your case and serve favorably to you. And what he did is he did this for a long period of time, and he began to get all these people on his side. And then he decided he was going to have a coup. The very one that took him in, the very one that didn't take his life, David had to go into hiding. So you think about Joab, you think of all these ones, what they did in their desire, you know, they caused a lot of havoc, didn't they? And that's what God wants us to be able to, you know, no one would have had to go into hiding. God could have just restored, done all these wonderful things, put him in a place, made him into some kind of a great leader. But yet the internal things are the very things that began to create these problems in the future. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22, it says, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with lust of deceit. And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking the truth, each one, because we know that's the answer. That's even what it said prior. It said, with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, I don't know about you, but it's kind of funny because God does these things in our life. He begins to speak the word of God. Now, leaven, like I said, leaven is something that we don't always begin to understand. Leaven comes in many forms. I'm going to tell a story. Look out, wife. But one day, you know, my wife and I, we've had very few real knockdown dragouts. I don't mean fists, but I mean, you know, argument times where we don't get along good. Very few. But we were in this state, and I remember going to bed, you know, and we jump into bed, you know, and the whole day was, you know, yeah, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not, you know, I mean, you know, you got this thing, you know. You know, I felt like she was wrong and I was right, and she felt I was wrong and she was right. And I'm waiting for them to apologize. And you make all these little issues and grunts and all these things. And so then you go to bed. You roll over. You know. And I did it and she did it. And then all of a sudden as I'm laying there, that scripture came. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then it started bringing these other things. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. You do what you're supposed to do and do it first. And so, you know, long story short, the thing didn't go on for another day. God restored everything. But, you know, a lot of people, they take that's the first day, they take it into the second day, into the third day, into the fourth day, into where they separate. Leaven is a real thing. It gets into the heart. And if it's not dealt with at the times that it's supposed to be dealt with, it becomes even more. It starts to raise to the top. And pretty soon you got relationships where, you know, people that were in love, they might even hang together because there's kids. But there's no love, there's no family, there's no this. And so somehow God's grace, we got to believe and trust in God's grace. Amen? But, you know, God, if it's at all possible, let it be my heart that gets cleansed, okay? And then I'll add this to that story. It takes two to make a marriage. Only takes one to make it fail. And so you can be out there doing the best you can, and yet God is still God. Amen? And so what happens is in life, leaven is something real. And, you know, I'm not going to get into it, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 on down, it talks about taking on the full armor of God. And it says, take on the full armor of God that you may be able to resist the enemy, the schemes of the enemy. The enemy is a schemer. And he likes to put a little bit of leaven in there, and that, you know, well, you're justified with this. You can leave that there. No, can't. You understand? I mean, a little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. And so what ends up happening is, you know, God wants us to put on the full armor of God that we can resist. And all these things, you know the story of the full armor of God. But it's something that we put on. A new life is something that we put on. And when we think about the Word of God, you know, we're given the Spirit of God to empower us. The Holy Spirit, what is a helper, a comforter, a teacher? The Holy Spirit is there in our lives to teach us this one important thing: how to obey the Word of God, whether it feels comfortable or not. Because by obeying the Word of God, obedience is better than sacrifice. When we obey the Word of God, that releases God's hand, and God begins to move in great power. I don't know about you, but, you know, just even the little story of our gal there tearing down these things, and, you know, I must obey God rather than man. And she believed that in her heart and went and did something, and, you know, thinking that she's going to suffer the consequences from it. But really, it just shored up that God is God. And unjust is unjust. And God can do anything. Amen? So we need to believe the Lord. But, you know, let's spend a little time on that inner beauty. At least as much time as we spend in the gym, or eating fancy diets, or whatever we might do. You know, I've never run into more people in all my life that have to have certain kinds of food. Well, now God is saying you need some of that same kind of spiritual food. Amen? And get that deep inside, and you're gonna be one of those people that smile from ear to ear, because the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Amen? God is going to lead us, guide us. Lord, help us to remember God's youth. That's another thing that we need to do. And to invest in teaching them the Word of God. Lord, if the future is going to change, it's going to change one person at a time because someone stood in the gap. So help us, God, to realize that your love and your mercy is the greatest thing that we could ever get. Help us to put on that new self in the likeness of God. And Lord, we can't be all in one day right with you. We know that. But Lord, little by little, help us to be encouraged to work on that inner man and the inner man's beauty. In Jesus' name, amen.